So this morning, as we were getting ready, I'm pretty picky about who stands here and brings God's word. And I wanted to with all my heart, but as we continued to keep moving towards our finish line, I knew that this week was going to be hectic, and I also felt God stirring who could come and fill this role on our launch Sunday for this location and also for anniversary, and there's only one name that could do that for us, and especially for me. This morning, I'll tell you a little bit about Dr. Don Davis, who's coming to share the word this morning and inaugurate this fine piece of equipment here. He is an amazing, amazing man of God. If you don't know him, he's the founder of the Urban Ministry Institute. He's a VP at World Impact. He's one of the most amazing speakers and teachers I've ever known. He is a spiritual father to myself and to a lot of people in this church. He's an oversight. Rob, that's a stupid idea guy for the church, which has been helpful to me. He's more encouraging than that. That's just the way I hear it. But he has come today just to share the word and to line out our future here in the next number of years. So why don't you welcome Dr. Don Davis this morning, please.
As one who looked at, saw this building not too long ago, miracles do occur. This building demonstrates, in my judgment, that Restored has the spirit of Nehemiah and Ezra. It's extraordinarily beautiful place, and I think the Lord is going to do extraordinary and beautiful things here. I am going to talk about that. We only have a few days left at the Institute to deal with the theme that we've looked at all year. We have looked at the Apostle Paul. Paul is an amazing person. He wrote. He is a rich person. His background was not very. He was not very godly. He was a jihadist in many ways, and he was restored. I've told Rob from the beginning that restored is one of these names, one of these concepts, one of these ideas and truths that is richer than you could possibly imagine. And it does not in any way surprise me that the Lord would give restored a facility like this with the vision and the people that it has. More than that, I believe that the Lord is going to do something extraordinary at Restored, something beyond just this community itself. But I think, now this will sound crazy, but I think I can make this argument. I think that the Restored community, this church, is going to give birth to a number of different communities where the house of God will be known. Now, just because you're a church does not mean that you are necessarily a house of God. You can have very beautiful buildings. You can do all sorts of things and not be a house of God. Many of us went to churches for a long time, and the presence of God was not or very sort of infrequently there. And so what I'd like to do is to talk about four different elements and images of a consecrated space. Geography is very important in the Bible. God is a God of the promised land. Space, facilities like this, I believe that the Lord has given this, and this is my own view, but I think that the Lord has given this to restore it for a very, very unique, a deep, and a lasting sort of legacy. Now, when I was a kid, like a little child, Mama would take me to church, and we were a liturgical church, which meant that we had an order of service that we would go through every Sunday. And there were, in our service, we'd memorize whole portions of Scripture. We recited the Lord's Prayer and the Decalogue and the Ten Commandments, and it was all of these things. And one of the things that we always used to do when I can still remember as a kid, when we would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. This is a brand new space. This is a space that the result of the sweat equity and all the money and all the effort, this was something to pull off. But it raises a question on this, the ninth anniversary of this church. What exactly makes a space, any space, worthy to be referred to as the house of God? How can you call a building a place where God dwells? I mean, why would God dwell? Does God dwell in buildings? How does God view buildings? How should we understand the concept of house of God? Well, I think that there is one word, and that word is the word consecration. Consecration is a sort of fancy way, but it's very easy to understand. Consecration means when you set apart something, a person, a place, or thing, for God's sole possession. I mean, you give something to God, and it's His for Himself's sake and no one else's, His direction, He can use it, or do it with it, whatever He wants. When you consecrate something to God, yourself or your family or your marriage or your stuff or your church, then God Almighty will receive that. And it's really unique. It means out of everything that you have, you set certain things apart. And these belong to God and no one else. This is God's. We're going to give it to Him. It is His. He can do whatever He wants with it at any time, for any reason, and we'll give it always back to Him. Well, that is, to me, the key to becoming, that's what transforms a church building into a place where God dwells. And I want to talk about those things just briefly with restored in mind. And I want to challenge this congregation. I believe Rob will testify on my behalf. When he came to me with the idea about restored, I immediately, it was like John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb. I just, in my heart, the idea of being restored, instantly I thought of the whole nation, the whole world, that restored might be, it might be God's will that through this young brother, God would give him an opportunity to do something that would not only be special in Wichita or in Kansas, not just in America, not just in this hemisphere, but God may want to have restored in London and Lagos and Beijing and Rio and all kinds of places. It just means that you have to set yourself apart. And there are four things I'd like to very briefly talk about. I think that restored should set itself and this place apart. It should consecrate itself. It should give itself to God for His direction, His purpose, His possession. This to be a house of prayer and praise. Every house that God has dwelt in has been set aside for worship and for prayer. This is where you begin as a congregation. You set yourself aside to give God glory and to make fervent supplication to Him. I'd like to talk about that. I'd also like to talk about the idea of setting aside this place to be a center of prophecy and proclamation. It's not lost on me, but at the center of this stage is a pulpit. The Word is going to go forth. So the Word and the Lord's Supper and prophetic blessing, the pronouncement of the truth, affirmation of God's will should saturate this place. This will be a place. I don't gamble. That's not a vice of mine. But if I did, I would bet on restored. I would. I believe that God Almighty is going to heal people, that this place is going to be an altar for Him, that men and women, boys and girls are going to rediscover themselves. They will hear a word of freedom and restoration and transformation, that the Lord's Supper is going to infuse grace. People will have blessing pronounced on them. Marriages will be restored. Children will be brought back. Everything will happen because you guys consecrate this space, not only as a house of prayer and praise, but a center for prophecy and proclamation. Guys, one of the things that restored If you are going to be committed to restoration for 9 years, restored, I've seen the logos change. I've seen the T-shirts change. The one thing that has never changed is that restored, if you understand the DNA of it, is a war college. This is not simply a house of prayer or a center for prophecy. It's a place where men and women are going to be prepared and going to push the kingdom forward in places that are really hard and dangerous and difficult. So in my mind, the restored vision, it should be set apart to God, not only as a place of worship and prayer and prophecy and proclamation, but men and women, boys and girls, are going to be equipped for spiritual warfare. The kingdom is going to advance here. This is the first day of official worship here, but it's going to become, in my judgment, it's going to become a spiritual West Point. There are going to be new pastors who are going to be ordained. Isn't it funny that on the first day of Restored's worship and celebration here, they are ordaining people for ministry? Come on now. You know, I hate this. Sometimes it's hard being so accurate the way I think. I just can't. But guys, this is normal, right? This is a war college. And then finally, I am convinced that this is going to be a place, not only a house of prayer, not only a center for prophecy, not just a place that trains and equips pastors and church planters and missionary leaders and ministry workers. It's going to be a tabernacle. The one thing that anyone knows about restored community is that the presence of God flows free here. This has to become, in my judgment, the absolute priority for the restored community. They have to allow the Almighty's presence and goodness to reign here. It has to flow, and I'll talk about each of these briefly. My introduction was a little longer than what I thought. I just wanted to sort of mention these things. Let me go very briefly to these things. First of all, to begin with, Restored should set apart itself 9 years ago this Sunday. It should set itself apart to become a house of prayer and praise. Guys, of all the things that you can say about the temple of God, the temple in the Bible was a house of prayer. This is the way it was understood. It was a place where people could come and have contact with Almighty God. Guys, this is an interesting idea to think about this. What if, in fact, God gave this place? Look at what Rob introduced. Look at the announcements. On the first Friday of December, there's going to be a worship place here. It's real interesting. When Jesus quoted that the temple was to be a house of prayer, he was quoting Isaiah 56:7. That verse says, God is referring to what he's going to do in the time to come when all things are brought together, when the temple is restored. He says, these things I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful. In my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. My house will be a house of prayer. I am convinced that to be a part of the restored community is to be committed to prayer. The prayer has to become the obvious priority. Guys, if you think of what God did at the temple, the beautiful temple that God created, on its first inaugural day, when Solomon brought everyone together from the nation and began to dedicate this, you can read about this in 1 Kings 8, Solomon prayed this prayer to God. Now listen to what Solomon says on this inaugural day when God's people were dedicating the temple to ministry. Solomon said, "Now therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, 'You shall not lack a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel.' If only your sons pay close attention to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now, therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed that you have spoken to your servant David, my father." Pay attention. Solomon says, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Will God dwell in buildings that human beings make? Does God come and reside in places that we build? Solomon said, behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have regard to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Lord my God. Listening to the cry and to the prayer that your servants prays before you this day, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may listen to the prayer that your servant offers toward this place, and listen to the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, and listen in heaven, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. If you look at Solomon's whole prayer at the dedication of the temple of God, it was all, this is a place that is devoted for sacrifice and for prayer. Sacrifice is what the worship team did for us before. They offered songs of prayer, praise, and glory. And every prayer that is offered, those two things, sacrifice and prayer, that is what the temple was for. There was sacrifice, there was prayer. There was sacrifice, there was prayer. In order for any sacred space to become a place where God dwells, there must be continuous, open, transforming, dynamic sacrifice of worship and prayer. It must be a priority. It must be what the building exists for. As a matter of fact, God's response to Solomon's prayer was this. The Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. You see that? When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command a locust to devour the land, or send a pestilence among my people. And then we know this verse. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Guys, what is significant here is that a new space became the place that God accepted, because if my people seek my face and pray, God is looking for us to seek his face, to offer sacrifice, and to pray. This is the way, the first thing that any church, any building can be consecrated. That is why God sets it apart. That's the way God conceives this space. It's a place of sacrifice, worship, and prayer. As a matter of fact, God has been very, very critical on his people historically when they turned the temple, which was a house of prayer, to a den of robbers, where they made it about money or about something else. God wants us to stay focused on him. It's the reason why he gives consecrated space. It's the reason why I believe God saved me. God wants me to offer sacrifice, to abound in it. I am a disciplined praise giver. I'm a praise maker. I write songs, some of them bad, some of them good. I'm doing everything. Guys, I am not lying. I am a priest of God. My life is to give God glory. I exist to give God praise and honor and thanksgiving. Everything that I want to do in ministry is conceived from that. Jesus condemned them. He did. He condemned them in Matthew 21:13, with the money changers and all of the business that was going on. He said, it is said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. You've taken the house of prayer and you've made it a den of thieves. What is significant in my judgment here is that if we really look at restore for this day, on the ninth day, I think that this place should be set aside for worship and for supplication to God. Rob, I can tell you and the elders, I believe with all my heart, that the most significant thing to make this spot, this space in Wichita, two blocks south of Douglas on Estelle, to make this place a sacred house of God, you must commit yourselves right now to give continuous, unbroken, dynamic worship and prayer. As much prayer and worship as you can give, it doesn't matter, Rob, if no one is in the pew. Forget about that. Forget about numbers. Don't forget about the sound system. As a guitarist, I want good sound. Guys, I am convinced that this is what God wants. Listen to what the Lord said in response to Solomon's prayer. He said, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place." Listen to the Lord. My eyes will be, I'm going to pay attention to the prayers that are offered in this new beautiful facility. I'm going to attend. What y'all pray about here, I'm going to listen to. I'm going to be aware of it. I'm going to listen to the songs you give to me. I'm going to hover around the stuff you guys do. This stage is going to be an altar for God. And the worship that is going to be given, he's going to get glory from it. Guys, this has nothing to do who's in the audience. Steve, this doesn't matter if anybody cares. I saw a little bit this morning, Jared, as a guitarist. I am very, very sensitive to guitar problems on stage. You had a few. It doesn't matter if the sound comes out or not. You should crunch these chords for the name of Christ. If nothing comes out, if no one listens, if no one comes here, this must become a place where everyone in Restored sees himself as a priest or a priestess of God. Everyone. We exist to give God glory, and we do it like nobody else. We're heart attack serious when it comes to giving God praise. We do this no matter if anyone comes. If our bank account is empty, we got no money, our friends, no one comes to our praise night. You're not invited to speak anywhere. There are no honorariums for the guest speaker, and we're all broke and everyone's sick. It doesn't matter what. There's one commanding priority. We exist in this place to give him glory and praise and excellence in everything. Excellence, excellence, excellence. We exist to give him glory. We're going to design new songs and learn hard and study good and fix the problems on the guitar. Guys, this is important. You need to hear what I'm saying. I am saying that first and foremost, this spot should be a house of sacrifice and prayer. The first thing before any people, before ministering to any need, healing anybody, seeing anyone married, burying dear saints of God, no matter all those things that are going to occur in this room, the priority should be worship of Almighty God. Praise and glory to him. This is why God gave the temple. Guys, this is important. You can know God's mind. He said, I'm going to pay attention to what goes on in that temple. I will hear the prayers you pray. That place was a place for complete worship. Thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed on an altar with dozens and dozens and dozens of workers who carved and cut and laid them and prayed prayers. The first thing that David did, guys, when after 7 years in Hebron, he was king, 33 years in Jerusalem. You know the first executive act he did? President Trump-elect is going to have an executive act. You know what David's was? He hired 4,000 guys to give praise every day and every evening. 4,000. Guys, I'm saying that this must be the priority. It must dominate the mind. We exist to give him honor. That's why we exist. He gave us this space, and now this space is going to become his house of prayer. We are going to give him glory. We're going to honor him like we've never honored him. Sing the best songs we've ever sung. Give him praise better and better and better. That's the first priority. I better hurry because I'm not going to make it. I've got three others to go. Guys, you have to set this place apart for prayer and praise. The second, it must become a center for prophecy and proclamation. The word of God must come through here. Guys, when the temple was rebuilt after the exile and Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, these great books are on the remnant that returned after the captivity. God's people were idolatrous. They were oppressive. They went into exile. 70 years later, a remnant of them came from the Assyrian country, land, and they came back and they rebuilt the temple after it had been sacked by Nebuchadnezzar. The first thing that Ezra did, this is where pulpits come from, he created a stand that was elevated above the people, and he read the word of God all day long to the people. The first thing he did when he got the space, the word had this place. It was a center. It was a place that if you went to it, you could hear the voice of God. You could hear the word read. It proclaimed it. It affirmed it. The truth went forward. Now, this is exactly the way the church as a house of God functions in the Bible. 1 Timothy 3 reads this way, verses 14 through 16. This is Paul talking to Timothy, his understudy. He said, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He, that is Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Guys, look at how Paul describes church, a house. It's a place where the truth is the pillar and the buttress. Truth is more important than anything. It's not just singing and prayer. The truth, this must be, this building, when I was taking the tour, Rob, and it certainly didn't look like this, bro. Rob was taking me around. The first thing I was thinking is that this is going to be a place where the truth of God is going to go out. There's going to be training here. All kinds of new pastors and church planners, new ministries are going to be started because of this space. This space is spectacular to me. It is. It's really, really beautiful and spectacular. Now, it's pretty amazing, Rob. Are you sure you guys don't want to start a construction company? If for volunteers, this is crazy. The most outstanding, gifted volunteers. You made this beautiful facility. I believe it should be a house of prayer and a center for prophecy. Guys, God's word is clear. God's people, we're the custodians of the word. We're the custodians of the Lord's Supper and the stewards of the mysteries of God. He has given the greatest truth on earth to us. This truth must go forward from here. There can be no compromise with this place as a center for prophecy. I use that word on purpose. A fresh word from Christ is going to come through this place. It's going to be spoken for this neighborhood, for this city, for this nation. This place must see itself as a place that is open ear to God to receive a word that you can pass on. This is why this is such. Look, I just came back, guys, from touring Toomey prisons in Southern California. I am really tired. I've been on the road. It's been tough. But I wouldn't have missed this sermon for nothing. Are you crazy? Guys, you need to understand, when Rob asked me that, this is one of the highest privileges and priorities I've ever been given. Thank you, Rob, for this. That's amazing. Because of what I believe for the restored community. This community is going to be a place where evangelists and prophets and pastors and Christian workers and all of these things are going to emerge out of here. Rob, you and the elders must make a priority that the word will stay at the front. The motto here should be, your word is true, not what is Christian subculture saying. Christian subculture can lead you in all different kinds of ways. It can make the priority of Christianity, what happens in your family or what happens on the nation or what happens in your job, that is the word is true. This is what Jesus said. Set them apart, consecrate them in the truth. Look, this is the most significant thing about this place. When the worship and the prayer are going, it creates an atmosphere for Almighty God to talk. And the essence of that is his word is going to be spoken, and that word is true. Rob, you should be open. I will say this to the congregation, the elders, and the pastor of Restore. You guys should be open to the truth of God coming out in brand new ways. That the gospel in its truth, biblical teaching, blessing should saturate this place. It should be clear, it should be reverent, and it should be uncompromising. Guys, there should be no kidding around with the word of God and the place it has here. I just think that's how you turn a space into a place where God dwells. When gospel truth, biblical teaching, Christ-centered counseling and instruction saturate a space. This is what I think you guys are. As a matter of fact, I would put restored in this Greek text of Paul. Restored, like the church of Almighty God, is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, built on the apostles and the prophets, with Christ being the capstone. Guys, this is to me how you turn a building into a place where God dwells. God dwells where his son is exalted, where his truth is declared. In him, in Christ, you are being built up together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. If God is going to dwell, guys, when that little weak company came back from captivity in just the shell of a building, it wasn't anything like the glorious temple before, but it was important because from that little ramshackle, newly built, renovated place, the word of God went forth. I am saying that is how you give dignity to this space. Let's be unequivocal. Let the life groups, let every sermon, all homilies, all songs, let everything that happens in Sunday school classes, everything from the nursery all the way to the elders meeting, let it be saturated with the truth of God. Let God have his space here. Let the truth dominate. I think that if you do that, then restore this new great building will become a house that God dwells in. Let me go on to one or two other things. The third thing I think that you need to do to set this place apart, your future has from the beginning, you were born in trial. To me, restored was forged in fire. There's been nothing easy about this congregation. Everything that you've done has been with great effort. On the day of the first declared homily in the church, they work in the middle of the night to get it ready. That's restored, right? Nothing is easy. You didn't have like 3 weeks to just come and sip lattes. No, you are painted. You got wet paint signs on the edge. See, that's restored. Guys, this is really important. Restored was made in the context of war. It learns of itself. Its understanding has come in the midst of trouble. God, when God does something great, the way he forged these guys, everyone in Jesus' inner circle was murdered on behalf of the Lord. And the only one that wasn't was a traitor. What does that say about the nature of Christianity? Christianity isn't easy where you come and everything is nice. When you are trained and God uses you, you're part of a community where the master himself winds up being murdered. Everything about Christianity is being a certain kind of person in the midst of the oven. God throws you in a place, puts his hand on the oven door, and turns up the heat. This is restored to me. Restored, nothing has been easy about restored. Restored is important because it demonstrates the power of love in the midst of adversity. It's you know, restored is an amazing place. I can look, I read my Bible, I see restored everywhere. Listen to what Paul told the Philippians. I think this has much to do with you guys. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent. Children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Do you see that? They're in the you're in the middle of it. You've got to raise the flag of Christ in the midst of all kinds of insanity and problems and lacks and needs and difficulties. Guys, this is the way God grows. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Do you see that, guys? In the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine. This has to be what you accept yourself. So, guys, all the images that you can use hospital, you can use Rob, all the images. Restored in its first 9 years to me has been a place of war. This is a place where people, they either make it or they don't. Who they really are in the middle of trouble really is demonstrated. You see what you're made of when you're thrown into the fire. Guys, this is what I think God wants. God wants every single believer of Restored empowered to represent Christ and his kingdom in the place of their lives. Guys, this is what I mean. I believe every child, every boy, every girl, every teen, every adult, not just the people in ministry, every single person in Restored should be equipped to represent Christ where they are. Elders, I would seriously consider training everyone. I mean everyone, all people, housewives, mothers, grandmas, old folk. I would identify the gifting and the calling of every person in Restored and equip them to represent Christ with honor where they live. I would have dedication services for all college students, junior hires. Everyone would see themselves as being mobilized for the sake of kingdom advance. Not one person would be left out. Not one. Not one. Everyone. You know, during World War II, when the threat of Hitler threatened the entire world, quite literally, we mobilized everyone in our nation. Children picked up scraps of metal. Women literally took over the factories of American industry. Everyone in America, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, were marshaled to contribute and do their part for the putting down of one common enemy, and that was Hitler. This is, to me, the way I see this space. This should be a place of prayer and worship. It should be a place where the word goes forth, but this should be a place where men and women, boys and girls, are equipped for ministry. And I mean all of them. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying. I mean everyone. No one's left out. Not a person. Not, it doesn't matter what your role or what your vocation is. It doesn't matter where you work or what you do. Everyone should be involved. And Paul made this plain. By the way, we should make sure that we are an army and not a club. Look, God doesn't give you this space so you can just be proud of it. God has given you this space in order that you could really train and equip men and women, boys and girls, to represent Christ and his kingdom and with honor wherever they are. I would much rather train a junior high student who is going to Robinson or Brooks or someplace like that than to work with dozens of families where no one in the family has any vision whatsoever. Some of our children and teens, some of our mothers and grandmothers are some of the most effective people who can reach out. There are all kinds of ways that we can, if it's a matter of vision. Why did God give you this space? I think one is to turn you into a war college. This should be a spiritual West Point. Every person who joins this community should be a part of what God is doing in the warfare of our Lord. For though we walk in the flesh, Paul said, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Everyone being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Guys, all I'm saying is that this understanding that Restored today has been given this property in order that it could send out spiritual laborers for the world, that I would make this a priority for the elders and the pastors of Restored.
Right.
I think that you guys, your original vision, you should strike that match as often as you can. For Restored today, I believe that God Almighty is going to raise up men and women that you're going to send out. You're going to empower them. You as a congregation should get ready to steward a lot of things. You could be given a lot of money, a lot of people. This place could become a headquarters for worldwide mission. You should be open to whatever God wants you to do. You should not be afraid. If you say we are going to open ourselves up to God, that he can raise up a generation, there's no reason on earth Restored shouldn't be replicated in thousands of different communities where Jesus is not known. It should be effective for hungry and anointed people, and you can get this done. Guys, this is pretty simple. My job is to train people who are illiterate and don't know virtually anything about the Bible for them to be able to give the Bible. These 13 panels, I've taught them here many times. The story of Jesus is not that hard to know. The church has understood this story its whole life long. The promise of Christ's coming is celebrated in church's Advent, which happens. And then soon, we will worldwide in the church recognize Jesus is coming into the world as we sing. The Magi tell the story of Jesus. Literally, they were Iraqis. Took them 3 months to ride by camel, probably, to come to Bethlehem. And yet God from the beginning said that this was not just for a certain kind of people. He's the light of the world. 40 days before he died, the church celebrates Jesus as the Lord. We think of Lent and that journey toward the cross. And then there's Holy Week. 7 days, the church, millions of us, remember our Lord's death. On the third day, he rose again from the grave. The tomb is empty, thank God. 40 days after that, Jesus ascended into heaven. 10 days after that ascension, the Holy Spirit fell on the church. And for 2,000 years, Jesus has been head of the church. This is one of the oldest images of Christianity. The Lamb of God is also the Shepherd of God. We are going to throughout the world to announce deliverance and forgiveness in his name. And in our hearts, we say two little Greek words, Maranatha. Because soon and very soon, our Lord will crack the sky. He will set up a kingdom, and peace and justice will rule forever in a new place. And in 2 minutes, I gave you the whole Christian story. There's not a person in this place who cannot understand what the word says, live it out, and embrace it. Every one of us can. It's a powerful idea. Guys, it's very simple. This is what I know Restored can do. Guys, listen to this text and what it may mean for the Restored community. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as consecrated. That's what holy means. Set the Lord aside. Let nothing compete with him. Not family, not money, not building, not marriage, not children, nothing. Set him aside. Let him be by himself, alone, in our hearts. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Guys, this is a promise to little children. This is a promise to junior highers and to teenagers. This is a promise to mamas and grandma. Everyone here should be trained to give a reason for the hope that they have, to do it with gentleness and respect in order that they should have a good conscience so that when they're slandered and people revile your good behavior in Christ, they may be ashamed. Guys, three things I've said. Restored on this 9th year anniversary of his existence should be a house of worship and prayer. It should be a center for prophecy and the proclamation of the word. I am convinced that God has raised up a Restored to be a war college, a spiritual West Point. I believe that men and women are going to be trained here. I believe new churches are going to be founded here, planted here. I think the new ministries are going to start here. I think all of this is from the Lord. And it all leads to one final point, that the tabernacle that Restored, I think, I talked to Rob about this. I'll just give you guys sort of an intimate picture of what I've said to Rob. I believe that Restored was raised up by God to be a movement where his presence and his goodness might reign among people who are broken. I believe this from the day Rob brought just images. It was just something on his heart, a burden from he and Jen and all of his dear friends, Steve and all the Ty and all of you guys. I remember, you remember the church plant stuff and you guys came around. I remember Rob who would drive to Enid after a long class. You know, he'd come to a Toomey class and he'd be in it. And then after that, he'd have to go in his 18-wheeler and make deliveries. He was a person of zeal and heart from the day I met him. He was hot and brilliant and young and fierce. He was wild. He was not domesticated. Rob pawed the ground. You know, he snorted. And he was like sort of crazy. You know what I mean? Guys, what was key about Rob is that he was filled with the presence of Almighty God. The fire was upon him. Rob was not just verses on a page or good study Bibles or nice onion paper. The boy's heart was about to explode. He had vision, and he was hungry, and he wept, and he wanted it. This is something you cannot lose. Never become a domesticated congregation with nice painted walls and nice stuff. You know, nice, very nice, as a matter of fact. That background, I'd like to talk to whoever did that so they could do that at Toomey. Guys, I'm thankful for this space. This is extraordinary, but it should give rise to a new level of fire and power and strength and fierceness. There should be discipline and hunger. We should not be afraid of anybody. You should go wherever God calls you, and you should do it at great risk to yourself. You should be this congregation that gave birth. Rob, you know what God gave you at the beginning. Remember what the Lord said to the dear Samaritan woman? He talked about this. Jesus said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain, neither at the new restored facility, or in the basement in Twin Lakes, will you worship the Father." Guys, you hear that? It doesn't matter where you are. You worship, he told her, what you don't know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Hebrews, from the Jews. But the hour is coming, he said, and is now here on the ninth anniversary of Restore. The hour is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. You see that? God doesn't care if you meet in a shack, if your floor is made out of dirt. Guys, we serve pastors who are serving this morning, whose churches meet under trees in India, who are as poor as you can think about it. I think of the dear, I led worship in prison bands with untuned guitars, with guys shouting at the top of their lungs just a few days ago. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. Our God is looking for a certain kind of person, a certain kind of person to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Guys, God conceived the temple as a place where he would dwell. And that's what made the temple a holy place. Let's just put this plain. If God is there, then it is a house of God. If God ain't there, no matter how pretty it is, it ain't God's house, right? It's a pretty simple thing. Guys, how God conceived that is different than what is going on in churches. I don't have to tell Restored that. There's a difference between the presence of the Lord and its showtime. Many churches, that's what church is. You don't like it because they don't sing the songs you like, or you don't like the preaching, or it's too long, or all these things that go on in people's mind. Listen to what the Lord says. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is consecrated. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him, with those who are of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. Guys, one of the great images of the church is God Almighty. If you looked at this, when they went forward, nearly 2 million people from Israel, the presence of God was right in the midst of the tribes. There are 3 tribes on the north, 3 on the south, 3 on the east, and 3 in the west. In the middle was God's presence. And every day, all day, there was a pillar of cloud. And every night, there was a pillar of fire. And they never left. They always stayed. They followed the fire. They followed the cloud. This wasn't just good planning and good ideas. If there was no presence, they never left. They stayed where they were until God spoke. They were people of God. This is a real question for you, whether or not you believe that God still speaks and inhabits his people. When Moses, when they set out, Moses would stand and say, let God arise and his enemies flee before him. And then they would all move. And then when they settled back, when the fire would come to a place, Moses would say, return, O God of Israel, to the thousands upon thousands of Israel. They move forward or they stay based on the presence of God. Guys, this is practical. Either God is leading you or you leading you. You hear what I'm saying? Either you in charge of your life or God is. You're either moving in directions that he's told you to move or you're moving where you want to go. And guys, it's that simple and that profound. Guys, allow the presence of the Almighty to rule here. God has given you a new fresh spot, a sweet spot. Allow the presence to rule. Take your vision from what he says and let him direct the affairs of this place. Listen to what the last verses in the book of Exodus. If you don't believe me, listen to what he said. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They built the tabernacle. The paint was fresh, Rob. They just finished it, and then God came and covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the place. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the place. Not just people, but God Almighty came. He dwelt there. Throughout all their journeys, listen to this, elders and pastors of Restored. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day it was taken up. They followed God and nobody else. They didn't follow just leaders. They didn't have meetings and just decide. God Almighty showed up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. That's all I'm praying for you guys. That's it. Nothing fancy. I just want the fire to come on this place. I'd like the pillar of cloud to lead you, Rob. You know what I mean? Really from the Lord. So you can be and do what he wants you to do. So the people who need to be healed can come to this place and kneel and have their lives touched and changed. Marriages, man, brought back together. Kids weeping back in the arms of their fathers. Fathers repenting and coming back to their kids. All because of God's presence being here. This should be a tabernacle, not just a nice building. Guys, I could say much more, but I'm done. I am truly done. I am praying. This is my prayer for you guys, that you would be a house of prayer and praise, that you'd be a center for prophecy and proclamation, that dozens of men and women, boys and girls, would be trained for ministry here, and that this would be a tabernacle of God's own possession. And I've crafted a prayer that I intend to pray for you guys. This is the prayer that I'm going to pray on behalf of you guys. Maybe you should design your own prayer, Rob, you and the elders. May the all-wise, triune God ever make this place, ever make this church a house of prayer and praise, a center of gospel truth, where the saints are equipped for ministry and where the presence of God is always sought, sensed, and felt among those who gathered here. This is what I prayed as I was preparing. I prayed it in the name of the living Christ. Guys, I hope that you will become this simple community with the fire of God in the midst of it. That's all. That's all I pray. If God comes, guys, everything changes. If he don't, it don't mean a thing. He has to come. He has to come. Guys, what I said about restored, I say about you. You need the power to come in you. He needs to come on your life and begin to lead you. It's an amazing thing to behold the power of God. He wants to dwell among us. I am so proud to be here on this day. I can't believe what Almighty God is going to do. Make this place become the house of Almighty God. That's what I pray. I pray that that this place will, in fact, become his house. Pray with me now, would you? Eternal God, our Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus, I pray that you would make this place, this beautiful place, this amazing space, Father, we consecrate it to you. I pray, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that this place, you would bless it. That this community that meets here, Lord, that you would give them strength. You would welcome them. You would decide to make this spot here in Wichita, in this community, a place where you dwell. Lord, I pray for new vision and new ideas. I pray for transformed lives, new families. Lord, I pray for money and people and workers, open doors, new vision, new mission. Lord, draw to them the right people that you want them to be here. And do in and through them, Lord, things that they've never dreamt. All because they're willing to allow this space to be a house of prayer, a center for prophecy and proclamation. A war college where men and women and boys and girls are trained for ministry, and a tabernacle where the presence and provision of God are always received with joy. In the high name of Jesus, our Lord, the great Prince himself, who dwelt among us, the one whom we love and whom we serve, in his name, his high name.